Well, it's a very well-known passage of Scripture. Not quite as well-known as what we had last week with the Good Samaritan, which, as we pointed out, shows up all over the place, whether people know it's in the Bible or not. But the story of Mary and Martha is one that we go to often and frequently with good profit. I'm not saying that we've mistreated or anything, but we frequently go to it as if it exists in and of itself, and that it is somehow sort of a totalizing statement on how we should behave, which I think is unwise, well, for lots of reasons. But one is its immediate proximity to the story of the Good Samaritan. One of the things that I frequently forget, and perhaps you do also, is I frequently forget that the Gospels are put together not in an attempt to give us a strict chronological story of the life of Jesus. They have no interest in a chronological life of Jesus. That wasn't the purpose of the gospel at all. The purpose of the gospel is to describe what it means to follow Jesus, to give us some indication to who Jesus was, who Jesus is, how we behave, and all of those other things that go into that. Which means that what we see has been selected to be there in a particular way. And while there's no rock-solid indication that you can't have the Good Samaritan without the story of Mary and Martha, I think it makes a lot of sense to us to consider that, well, Luke put them there on purpose, that they are that close to each other, so we don't lose sight of these two things. I came across some very interesting things by a Lutheran educator I'd never come across before named Christian Berkey Abbott, who I will now spend some time trying to find more of what they write because it's really quite good, and pushed me in some directions that I hadn't really thought of before, reminding me again of the proximity of the two and gently reminding me of the misuse of this story, which is primarily to beat somebody up for not being a Mary when they should be and for making fun of Martha, which I think is inappropriate. We don't know what's going on in the story. For all we know, Mary was a slacker her entire life and deserved a bit of a poke now and then to do things. We don't know that. We also don't know that Martha wasn't somebody who spent considerable lengths of time in devotion and in scriptural reading and all the rest of it. So our caricatures of these two, we need to step away from them if we can. And rather than looking at which of these is the right one, rather than looking at, who's good and who's bad, because that's not what's happening here. What this Lutheran educator pushed me to do is say, look at this story, and then ask yourself, which of these two are you now, and what do you need to do? Because there's lots of things going on in this story. And I believe, and this is something that I have run across in other places, and it has struck me frequently, that this story is a counterbalance to the story of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is a story about people doing what needs to be done. There's nothing in the story of the Good Samaritan that addresses the need for education and ethics and morality. There's nothing in the story of the Good Samaritan that suggests you should be aware of the content of Scripture and you should try and learn about it, because it's not important to the story. We don't miss it because it doesn't need to be there. But we sometimes start looking for things in the subsequent story of Mary and Martha that aren't there, and we start drawing conclusions on the basis of what isn't there that may or may not be helpful for us. And what I have come to think, and strongly think, is that this story is next to the story of the Good Samaritan to remind us that, once again, we're not in an either-or as an orientation towards life. It's a both-and, and make sure you're doing what needs to be done at the right time. The problem with Martha, if there is a problem at all in this story, isn't that she was doing worthwhile things, because of course she was. It's that she had an opportunity to choose one that was better than the other. Better. You'll notice when we read this story that we sometimes fill in words that aren't actually there. And when Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things," Jesus does not say, "and you are wasting your time at stupid things." In this translation, it says, "but Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. At that particular point, the needful thing was to listen to Jesus. And what Martha had chosen to do was something that was worthwhile, but less important, less needed. Martha was not doing evil things. She was doing something else. She had allowed herself to be moved in directions that took her away from the most important thing that needed to be done at that moment. And Mary had chosen what was needed to do. So which of us do we want to be? Well, obviously we want to be Mary. Of course we want to be Mary. Well, or if we're really feeling full of ourselves, we want to be Jesus. I mean, there's only three people in the story. The one we don't want to be is Martha. Well, why not? Well, because we look at that and we bring a lot of weight into our own, sort of from our own experience and from our own interpretation of this story. And when we've been told often that, you know, you should always be a Mary and never be a Martha because there's something wrong with Martha, which is not true, for all of these reasons. Let's think about Martha for a moment. What if we're Martha? Let's put ourselves in her shoes for a moment. Let's see and ask ourselves some questions. And these are some of the questions that I came across when I was doing that reading. And when we think of Martha, and if this is the Mary and Martha that we encounter in other places in Luke's gospel, these are both spiritually attuned and acute women. It isn't one is good at being religious and the other isn't. They are both there. So what's going on? Well, if we are perhaps in a position of thinking that we might be more of a Martha today than a Mary, what's distracting us from the important work that we need to do? Because that's what happened. Martha was distracted by the needs, legitimate needs, but less important needs of entertaining, of being hospitable. What might be distracting us? How do we determine which work is important and which work doesn't matter, at least not matter as much at this moment? And there's a question I actually wrote down in this, like to make sure I got the wording right, because I knew for sure if I tried to remember it, I would soften it because it hits me right between the eyes. What work have you turned into an idol? Because, oh, that's a tough one for me. And it comes from a good place, I think, for me, this desire to be responsible and to do what needs to be done. But I will find myself, if I'm not careful, doing things that needed to be done, that no longer need to be done, that are now a waste of time in every possible sense, but because that work was there and it was defined as work, it must be done. Well, that's as good a definition as idolatry as anything I can come up with. What are these things that we have said, these need to be done, and perhaps they did at one point, but now we no longer think of them. It's just part of the routine of our lives. It's just inertia that keeps us going. And as I was thinking of this, another question that came of something along the lines of, well, if Jesus was in my living room, what would I do? What questions would I ask? And more importantly, where would Jesus direct my attention? These are all the kinds of questions we can ask ourselves if we want to avoid the pitfalls of being Martha. And what are the anxieties in our life that keep us from spending the time that we want to do, that we want to spend with Jesus, and that we know we should spend with Jesus? And I don't want this to be the kind of thing where all we do is sit around and figure out what's wrong with us, because, well, most of us do that all well and good, all on our own time, and we can do it then. But there are many times when we look at ourselves with a clear eye and we say, we are doing what Mary was doing in that story. Enjoy those times. Ask yourselves these kinds of questions. What is it that sustains our attention at this time? What is it that has drawn us in to be doing what it's so obvious that God wants us to do? Whether it's a time of devotion just on our own, whether it's a worship service, whether it's a significant conversation with someone, what are those things that are doing? Think of those times when you have been connected, when you've been well aware of Jesus. Even in the midst of the lives that we all live, I mean, mine is unusually chaotic at the moment. But there, I've had other times of chaos when I felt as strongly connected to God as any other time. What was it that did that? How did I hear God's voice in the midst of that? Because I know I did. And if I'm not hearing it now, what do I need to do? How can I do that? How did, I mean, we don't need to know how Mary did it, but let's speculate, if you will. If we were Mary, if we have, those of us who have siblings who want us to do things that are less important than what we do, what we're doing at the moment, how do we interact with them? How do we make sure that we stay on the most important thing? Because that's what Mary did. And let's not forget that we can be so much a Mary that we're not a Martha ever, and the dishes never get done. I mean, it's another false dichotomy, but we run across them all the time. You know, being so earthly-minded, you're no heavenly good, and so heavenly-minded, you're no earthly good. But you don't have to choose between those, by the way. It's not an either-or here or anything else. But it's something we do need to keep in mind, at least somewhere, that we try and create the balance that allows both of these things to happen. This was a time when someone was in their home. It appears to be a shared home. And part of having someone in your home is being hospitable. You can't just say, no, we're not being hospitable. That's one of the responsibilities of a civil human being. And it's one of the responsibilities of a follower of Jesus. Hospitality is one of the critical things. It's one of the hallmarks of someone who follows God. If you are so inclined, and you're welcome to do so or not, go through the Old Testament. Just sort of skim over it in your mind. You don't have to go through the whole thing. That will take a while. And look at all the statements of judgment, particularly on groups, but also on individual people, and see how many of them are because hospitality was not offered. It's a shocking percentage of them. Hospitality matters to God in a way that we sometimes forget. So this was important. It's just Martha went overboard, went too far. She did more than was needed to be able to do the two. Is it always possible to balance things perfectly? Of course not. But if we don't ask ourselves some of these questions, both Martha questions and Mary questions, we will think that balance doesn't matter, or that we can't even move towards it. I'm no different than anybody else. When I was growing up, I was quite convinced that most of the things that I'd accomplished were entirely because of me, because I was good at what I did. I drank heavily of that nonsense of, you know, the self-made person and all of that. But in the context of this story, maybe ask yourself when you're thinking of these times when you have been closely connected to God, when you've been doing all of those things, was there someone who was doing the work that you weren't able to do or had chosen not to do so you could do this? Is there someone that you need to say thank you to for freeing this up as a possibility? As I was looking at the lectionary text this Sunday, I thought, well, there's an easy story. I'll just go in there and we'll do the usual thing. And then I started actually thinking about it and doing some reading about it and then thinking about it some more and realizing that what this story does for me is it provides an array of questions that I need to ask myself to see where I fit at the moment. To realize that once again, to realize that being a follower of Jesus is not always a simple either-or choice. In fact, it's very seldom a simple either-or choice. It's seeing what is it that I need to do at this moment that I might be faithful to the call of the God who called me to move forward, to becoming more the person I should be, and to becoming the person that other people want to be around, to be the kind of person who makes people better rather than worse. And some of those questions that I posed for all of us are questions that I'm trying to ask myself more frequently. What is it that I'm doing? Is it that important? Is there something I should be doing that is, well, that's better? If Jesus were to be sitting with me as I'm doing the things about my day, would he be shaking his head and saying, "Barry, Barry, you're just worried about so many things. There's this other thing that would have been better." I don't know about you, but I don't want to hear that from Jesus. I don't think any of us does, but I know I don't. But what I take from this little story, this domestic moment, is that we can do both. We can be both. And what I also see in here is that we can, through the power of the Spirit within us and our own willingness to look at what we're doing and why and with whom and where, that we can make the changes that we need to. So that when it's time to be listening to Jesus, that's all we're doing. But when it's time to help somebody who's been beaten up and left on the side of the road, we do that too. The life that we're called to is a rich, full range of all the experiences and all the things that a human being can do. We're called to do the best thing. And we'll never do that if we aren't willing to ask ourselves the questions about whether we are or not. If we're not willing to ask God. To ask God through the power of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to what we should be doing. And then to listen. Because we don't have to choose to be a Mary or a Martha. It's not an either or. We don't have to choose to be a Mary or a Good Samaritan. That's also not an either or. A loving God calls us to do what it is that we are called, that we are needed to do at every moment. And through the power of that same loving God, we can figure out what it is. Helping somebody or listening or some combination of the two. But we can both listen and do if we do them at the right time. Amen.